Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
First Corinthians chapter 1, that ought to be right where you are right now. I want to share a simple message with you. I shared this morning in Sunday school when you don't know what exactly it is you're going to say, you're a little bit nervous. Well, this is kind of last minute, and I had fully intended to preach what I intended to preach last Sunday morning, and it didn't happen, but at the last minute this morning, God kind of changed some things. I scribbled some things down, and actually it happened last night, so this hasn't completely developed, but I'm going to preach exactly what is here in this first chapter, maybe the second chapter, and hold on to your seat, maybe the third chapter. Don't get too concerned. I'll shorten it up immensely. I'll condense it, and I trust that God will bless. And if we don't get to the third chapter, I'm good with that. If we don't get to the second chapter, I'm good with that. You know what? However God leads in this message, that's what I'm going to do my best to give to you this morning. I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, and you heard it. How many were at the grandstand service this morning in the fair? Raise your hand. There were a few, all right? I'm glad some of you made it here and didn't consider that your church, because that isn't your church. We didn't take an offering, did we? Although a man did give me a $20 bill afterwards. I got it right here in my pocket. Said, use that for gas. He doesn't know I only live a mile from the grandstand, but that's the way it goes. Three or four people received Christ as their Savior this morning there at the fair. I count it a privilege to serve God and be bold and try to be bold as a lion when it comes to the gospel. And I do my very best, even when I'm scared to death, to be bold and to give it out to everyone that will listen. I try not to. I'm to the place in life I shouldn't have to, but we're all made of the same stuff. I try not to cower back from any situation and stand in the shadows. I try to be upfront and bold and tell people about Jesus, because I know our time is limited. I know that for a very fact. This last week's been kind of a hard week, and in a lot of ways. I buried my good friend Rupert, our dog, family dog, And he actually died in Becky's arms, and he stayed alive until Becky got there. And then I buried him the next morning before everybody got up and said goodbye to my friend. He's not in heaven. He wasn't created in the image of God, but he was given to us as a member of the family. So it wasn't real formal. I just said, so long, friend. that was kind of it. But you know what? It was a little bit of a heartache. And then, of course, on Wednesday, a dear brother in the Lord went home to be with the Lord. John Gleason, maybe you saw it on 9 and 10 or 7 and 4. He drowned Wednesday afternoon. John was assistant pastor at Fundamental Baptist Church my first 10 years. He had threatened to write the book, my first 10 years, or my 10 years of warped ministry with Tim Rader, but he didn't get it out. As far as I know, it didn't get out. I hope it didn't get printed. You know, hope it is not a computer somewhere. We were good brothers in the Lord, and I loved him. And it was shocking to hear that him, younger than I, is 56 years, and now he's in heaven. We're very immortal. You receive Christ, that's when you become immortal. Our lives here on this earth are very, very temporary. And it might be that you had a hard week. A lady said to me this week, I think she's here this morning. I saw her husband. I'm sure she's here. She said, you know, probably you don't get asked this much, Pastor, but are you all right? I said, yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay. I have a God in heaven that meets my every need. He is always there. I want to tell you about that God. I said this morning at the grandstand, I said it last week here, I have a friend in Jesus like no one else in this earth could possibly be. They could never be as close to me as what Christ is. He's always there. Always. He hears my every prayer. He's always there. He's omnipresent. He's there when I need him, when I call out to him. He took my place in death. He speaks on my behalf every day in heaven. He's building for me a home in heaven. And he's coming to get me one day. I have a friend. Let me brag on him this morning. His name is Jesus Christ. Make no mistake about it. His name is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. He is my Savior. He is my shepherd. He helps me every day that I live. He provides for me in every way. He provides the very air that I breathe. I can't create one molecule, one atom. God meets my every need. By Him, Jesus Christ, the book of Colossians says, all things consist. I would encourage you this morning to recognize that God has a will for your life. Everybody look up here for just a moment. Don't be looking down at your Bible. Just hear this. God has a plan for you. Anything short of it, you will be an utter failure. Every point, every path, every moment on the path of life that you leave the plan of God that He has for you, yeah, that is a wasted moment. That is wasted steps. That is wasted time. You need to understand, as well as me understanding this morning, is that you cannot leave God out of your life. Don't do that. The Bible says in Colossians in chapter 1 that Christ is to receive the preeminence. Maybe you've got big plans right now. I'm telling you, don't leave God out. Don't do that. Maybe you're attending college right now and you're letting college overwhelm you. Don't leave God out. That is a mistake. And I'll say this. If Jesus Christ is not first place in your life, you're going to mess up. You are going to mess up. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Put Jesus Christ first place in your life and the things of Christ first place in your life. The devil is doing all he can to minimize the church of Jesus Christ. And the local church and being faithful. You can come up with all kinds of excuses. Man, I got to cut the grass. Man, I got a headache. I can't go to church today. I got to back flush my water pick. You come up with all kinds of excuses. One man I was visiting years ago and said, "Preacher, I can't be there on Sunday. Thanks for inviting me." I said, "Well, why not?" He said, "I got milk in the fridge." And I figured out what he was saying. You can come up with all kinds of excuses. If you do not put Jesus Christ first in your life, mark it down on one level or another in a big way, sooner or later, you're going to mess up. The whole bottom is going to fall out. Instead, follow God. Okay, let me get to the text here this morning. I'm going to do my best to preach it. Look at verse 17. I'll start with verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto them which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? God's foolishness and weakness, there aren't any. The world's foolishness and weakness, it's everywhere. It's a castle of sand. It's temporary pseudo-intellectualism that will pass when this age passes. It's temporary affluency and riches that you can't take home to heaven. And if you're not using and investing and winning this world to Christ, I don't think you're doing right. Follow the will of God for your life. Verse 21 says, For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, and unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. But the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. There's one God and one Savior. He was crucified, he shed his blood, he died, and he rose again on the third day. He is the second person of the Godhead, and he is Savior. And in him is power and wisdom. Power and wisdom, in fact, is personified in Jesus Christ. You want to talk about the power of God? Don't tell me about a car engine and how many horsepower. In fact, this generation knows nothing about muscle cars. Amen. All you older men, you know what I'm talking about? They have no idea, you know, what a 327 with a four barrel and a four speed Hurst is. They have no idea what 50s on the back are about. They have no idea what any of those the cars that are being manufactured today are toys. I just want you to know that's not power. God is power. When I was in high school, I forget what it was called. 454? What's the Oldsmobile? I had a 454. Four-speed Hurst, speed shift. Man, it sucked down gas like you would not believe. Even my dad's car, he had a Plymouth wagon with a 383 Plymouth motor in it. This is a family car. 383 motor in it and a four barrel, and it was fast. You say, how do you know it was fast? I know it was fast. I know. My dad was a driver back then. One time, and it was the fastest thing in Pickford, because I know. We went by O'Connor's. I'm 18 years old. We went by O'Connor's, and I was a car length and a half in front of the other car, the other guy that thought he had the hot shot. We started at the Pickford caution light, and going by O'Connor's where my dad worked, I looked over, and my dad was standing in the car lot. I had his car. I know, all right? But even that's not powerful. Powerful? The power of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. Colossians 1 and verse 12. I wasn't always right with God. I want you to know that. Don't judge me. I was a stupid teenager from time to time. And I do right now. I'm a law and order kind of guy. I am. Colossians, I've grown in grace. Colossians 1, verses 12 through 20. Man, I don't know if I should read it all or not. Let me pick up at verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's salvation. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things are created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Skip over to chapter 2. Let's look at verses 9 and 10. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. You know where you're complete? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. Not in a college degree. You're complete only in Christ. Not in a vocation. Only in Christ. You're not complete in your children. You're complete in Jesus Christ. Man, that's when you begin to know how to live. We have one God. We have one calling. Let's go back again to 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren. Calling. What is calling? Purpose. What God has planned for you. And I don't care if you're digging a ditch or preaching. If that's the will of God for your life, you're going to know joy. You're going to know richness spiritually. You're going to know the peace of God. You're going to be able to raise a family for the glory of God. No matter what your vocation is, you make sure your calling is right and you are putting Jesus Christ first. By the way, if Jesus isn't first in your life, you are not fulfilling your calling. Verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh and not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world, that's the nobodies. And the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. That's how I got in. God takes a nobody who's entrapped and enslaved in sin, washes him up by his blood, and then enables him to live a life to the glory of God. God is in the business of taking nobodies and making them somebody in Christ. I'm a nobody in the world. I'm a nobody as far as the 7 billion people on this planet. And I ought to be a nobody as far as the God above, because why would he care about me? But I'm somebody in Jesus Christ. God takes the nobodies, the base people. God takes those that are foolish. And God takes those that are weak. And he saves them. He cleans them up. And then he uses them for his glory. I ask you this question this morning. Are you in the middle of God's will for your life? Again, don't leave God out. This is the 21st century. I've already got it identified. What this generation's about. It's about keeping God casual. That means holding him back like this. I love him. Don't get too close. I still got things I want to do. And because so many others are doing it, because they're not reading their Bible, that's where they're living. God is not casual. God is righteous. God is holy. The Lord God Jehovah has never changed. You read the God of the Old Testament, that's the God of the New Testament. And there is only a Trinity. There are no vacancies in the Trinity. There's not room for some other kind of God, or can I say some other kind of Jesus. Man, it's the old time religion or it's nothing. And you may read into what I'm thinking the old time. Maybe you misread and don't understand what the old time religion is. But it's right here in the heart, man. It's in the heart and it affects my whole life. And it's not casual. It's not just a Sunday morning God. Oh, please don't get sucked into that. That is a master stroke of Satan. Before long, you won't be attending all the services. Before long, you won't be attending any of the services. And before that happens, your heart will have already been turned away from God. Don't go there. Don't go there. God has a plan for your life. God has a calling for your life. Oh, let's get to the end of the chapter, because that's where it is. Verse 29 says that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness. Well, that doesn't sound very casual to me, does it? Does it to you? I mean, of him unto us is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification, that's separation, and redemption. That according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Okay, here's my calling. Here's my purpose. Whether I'm a butcher, a baker, or a candlestick maker, I'm to bring glory to God. I'm to glorify Jesus Christ. Whether I'm a corrections officer or a policeman, or whether I work in a factory or I'm a housewife or a business person, my calling is to glorify God. And if I'm not glorifying God in my vocation, then I am out of the will of God for my life. I have left the plan of God for my life. By the way, in case I haven't said it lately, I want to say it this morning. Anything good that has happened in the 30 plus years here at Fundamental Baptist Church, it's all because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything bad, it's because of us. I'll take the blame, it's because of me. Anything that's gone sour over the years, anywhere where we stumbled and fell, it wasn't God's fault. It's man's fault. It's my fault in my life. Anything that's gone wrong is because there was a time where I turned my purpose from God to myself. Paul here says God has a plan for your life. You don't have to be great. You don't have to be mighty. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be someone with a Hollywood smile. You just need to be surrendered. You don't have to be talented. God will take the weak. God will take the nobodies. God will take those that are nothing. And God will wash them up and cleanse them and use them, and they'll magnify the Lord Jesus Christ with their life. Chapter 2 gets into it in more detail. I'm going to summarize some of it because we can't get to all of it this morning. But I challenge you to do a lot of reading here. Chapter 2, look at it, says in verses 1 through 9. I'll just read it without comment. And then I want to read in detail a little bit more. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He said, I didn't come in the power of the world, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Man, that doesn't sound like power, does it? And my speech And my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught or nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I often quote that concerning heaven, but that isn't isolated to heaven alone. In fact, you read it in what I just read right now in the following verses. He's talking about right now in the life we live. Right now, the life that we are called to. God has got great things planned for your life. I don't necessarily mean great in the eyes of the world. I mean, when you get home to heaven, you're going to find out how great it really was. And you're going to find out all those people were there in heaven, heaven's grandstand, and they were cheering you on. It talks about two men here. It talks about the man that gets his power from the world and the man that gets his power from God. The Spirit-filled Christian contrasting the carnal Christian, and even the natural man that isn't born again. Boy, there's a lot of good preaching here. I hesitate to skip verses. Verse 10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all the things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There's the Spirit-filled man, and there's the natural man, saved and unsaved. Natural means he doesn't have the Spirit. He's still dead in his sins. We as Christians are to live Spirit-filled lives, therefore having the wisdom of God and the power of God. There's a third man that enters into this, and I'm a little bit on a rabbit trail, but let me hang with it because it has to do with the plan of God for your life, and that's the carnal man. This is the carnal Christian. So we got the, let's put the natural man over here. This is the man that's not saved. All he knows is the power of this world. All he knows is the power of CEOs and good business and catch all you can all you get and just take care of your own and climb that ladder of success and step on everybody you can along the way. Even if they're a good spirit, a good-hearted person, they're a natural man. And the flesh cannot please God. They don't understand the things of God. I just got through reading it. Then there's the Spirit-filled Christian. Well, let's go to the carnal Christian first. I'm putting it in reverse order. The carnal Christian. This is the man that got saved, but he isn't filled with the Spirit of God. He's indwelt by the Spirit of God, but he's not filled with the Spirit of God. And if, with his thought process, he's that man. His name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Heaven. He's not going to hell, but in his thoughts, in his actions, in the way that he lives, he's that man, the natural man. He's the saved man living like the world. And then we have the Spirit-filled Christian, the man that is controlled by the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to be filled by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18. And he is living out Jesus Christ. He is living out the Bible. This man's a giver. This man is a doer. This man is surrendered to God the Holy Spirit. This guy is willing to take a punch for Jesus. This one's willing to take a kick in the stomach for Jesus. He's just going to stay faithful, and he's going to do it. He doesn't have to lean on anybody else. He's leaning on God. In fact, he's filled with the Holy Spirit. I heard one old preacher say this. You know, if a man's truly filled with the Spirit like he ought to be, you get bit by a mosquito, that mosquito ought to buzz away singing, "There's power in the blood." You know, I mean, he's different. There's something else. He marches to the beat of a different drummer. Something makes him tick, and that something is a person, and it's God the Holy Spirit. God bless that man. God bless that woman, and we need all kinds of them. God help this man, because he's actually pointing people to hell. God help this man. It's a struggle every step of the way, because the Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard. You'll have a problem in relationships. You'll have a problem with events. You'll have a problem with finances, hard as you might try. And that's not where your faith ought to be. And God save this man. Because if something don't happen, if something doesn't happen in his life where he gets saved, he's going to go to hell. God's plan for your life is to be over here. Chapter 3 talks about the judgment seat of Christ. Because it's not a free game, carnal Christian. You need to understand that. That guy's going to get a lot of rewards. You may not get anything. And then after that, it exalts Jesus Christ and says it again. Our calling is to glorify God. No matter where God has put you, say, man, I'm retired. You better be glorifying God every step you take. Exalt him. Magnify him. Look for ways to be used. Don't let the devil whisper sweet nothings in your ear where you no longer serve God. Man, you don't need a title to serve God. Serve God. Just serve God. Every man here ought to be a deacon. That's a servant of God. Every woman here ought to be a deaconess. God help us. That's servants of God. That's just all that word means. Servants of God. Man, you're getting it done. You all ought to be assistant pastors. I know he's the only one and Bill's the only one. They're the only ones to get the big bucks. But, you know, you all ought to be assistant pastors. By the way, he ain't doing anything for the money. Neither is Pastor Bill, neither am I. Maybe you don't. I mean, a prison guard gets more money than we get. It's not serving. We're not serving mammon. We're serving God. And if we get everybody together, let me wrap this up as quickly as I can. Friend Day is coming, September the 27th. Let's get real practical. What you got to do is you got to get a Friend Day card and you got to carry them with you. Carry them with you. There's only 5 cards on the back. Now, I'm sure tonight there's going to be a bunch more, and Wednesday there'll be a whole bunch more and everything. We're just getting started. But I wanted to be first, and so I got 5. I even went and took some right out of Derek's, under Derek's nose over there, so I got his renters before he got to him. I got 5 people signed up back there. I'm going at it every day of the week. And Pastor Josh, every day of the week. Got it, right? Pastor Bill's not here. He's down in Pensacola, but every day of the week, all right? You go out and you get these cards signed up. You get them signed up and people are going to come. By the way, get their full address. We'll send them a mailing. We'll be praying for them on Wednesday night. The only way we're going to get 800 is if we get everybody involved. Number one, carry these Friend Day cards with you. One day last week, I'm going into Walmart, running a real quick errand. Hey, I never go into Walmart except I see all kinds of people I know. I went back to the car, I got some Friend Day cards and an ink pen, and I went back into Walmart. The only people I saw were people from church. I couldn't believe it. I approached a stranger and he flat out told me no. I said, okay, all right, no. That actually doesn't happen too often. We need to get these cards filled out. We need to start caring about so. You say, oh, that's so materialistic and so juvenile. Fill out cards for Friend Day. Are you kidding me? You know how many people got saved last year? And who did you invite? How about getting in the battle? How about picking up the sword of the Spirit? Get in the harness. It's going to take a team effort. You never get to 800 without a team effort. And everybody going at it. And we'll see souls saved. I promise you. Because God's word never returns void. Get a burden. Psalm 142, verse 4. The psalmist said, I looked to my right and I looked to my left, and no man cared for my soul. Get a heavenly burden. Get a holy boldness. Proverbs 28:1. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And get her done. Ask God to give you a burden this morning. Somebody need to come to the altar, and that's what you need to pray. God, I'm cold. Renew my vision. Give me a burden. Help me to care again. Bring back the tears. And then pray, God, give me a boldness where I go after people. This is harvest time.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.